Welcome back to the Luck Changers Podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Nate. Join with me, as always, my co-host, Tone.
Hola.
Welcome back, Tone. I see what you did there. And our moderator, AJ.
Happy Cinco de Mayo, boys.
And that's why I saw what he did there, because it is Cinco de Mayo today, and we kicked it off, celebrated with some homemade margaritas. Tone, you were the bartender in this scenario. What do you think?
I was. It was an interesting role. I do want to shout out my fiance, Alyssa. She kills it. I had a tough go around, so it was only the first round. It wasn't good. We'll see how it goes in the second round, but shout out, Alyssa.
I think you did something wrong, but I'm obviously the recipe's right on. The taste of your concoction here was just slightly off, but no, I appreciate you bringing your whole entire refrigerator, it looked like, but you did what you could.
Well, shout out moderator AJ. He got a really nice bottle of tequila for us, so
100%.
Yeah, for sure.
100% agave, that is. But a margarita Cinco de Mayo aside, we have an episode to record, and we got a pretty interesting episode. Technically, this will be our first ever kind of predictions in a preseason year, seeing as though we didn't start till about, what, week 8 or 9 last year?
Yeah, I think it might have been something like that. Maybe even week 10.
Yeah, so it'll be a little fun tidbit to track as the football season goes, to see basically who our predictions are. So what's on tap for the episode, AJ?
Well, today is our NFC special. It's our 2021 NFC outlook. We'll go division by division. We're going to cover the win total predictions for the year, and we're going to see what the two of you feel like as far as over-unders and if teams have improved or lessened since the year of 2020. But first and foremost, we did a NFL draft special last week, and we can just kind of hone in and just do a really quick recap before we get started. What did you guys think about the draft last week?
To start, it was pretty obvious. Then it got to that third pick, and you're like, hmm. And then a lot of different kind of fallings happened. We saw a cornerback go before another. We saw a few trades early. We saw a hometown, not really hometown born, but Ohio State Buckeye get picked in the top 15. There was a lot of interesting scenarios going on. What do you think, Tone?
Yeah, I thought it was fun. It was the first draft in a while. I was really excited because mm-hmm. we did know the first two picks, but after that, we really had no clue. We got a few of our picks right, so we did all right, but overall, it was kind of a tough draft to analyze. There was a ton of speculation, but it was fun. Plus, it was in Cleveland, so it was really cool to see the crowd up there. People are getting out there, getting vaccinated if they choose to, and it seems that things are starting to get back to normal, so it's exciting. It gives us a positive outlook, so way different than the 2020 draft.
Yeah, it was a good feeling of normalcy, mm-hmm. to say the least. And to be honest, we did get a few right, a few obvious ones, and we had a few guys we kind of pulled out there. But overall, if you kind of compared what we did to the actual draft, we were pretty dang on close. I think for our first ever draft analysis, pre-show.
Mock draft,
yeah, all those things. We were, I don't know, I was pretty proud of ourselves watching the draft. We were right on almost mm-hmm. all those picks. So, AJ, if you want to kind of break down a little bit how we did.
So we did a top 15 mock draft. We didn't go too crazy. So the top 15 picks. We got 6 out of 15 correct, which if you're listening from home, you're like, oh, 6 out of 15 is not that good. For a mock draft, that's actually pretty good. Like even if you watch Mel Kiper or Todd McShay, I mean, that's pretty much on par with those two guys, honestly. You have a lot of trades that are going to affect picks, or if a team picks a player that you had slated later, I mean, it just throws off the whole entire draft. So 6 out of 15 is good, and we also had 3 out of 9 picks where we didn't pick the right player, but we had the same exact position that a team went with. So overall, pretty good. Nate, you also kind of hit on Greg Newsom to the Browns. We didn't include that in our mock, but I asked you guys about our favorite teams, and you kind of threw that out there for the Browns. So a lot of good picks. Like you said, the first two picks were pretty much on par. We had Mac Jones to the Niners, and we had Trey Lance to the 49ers, or to the Patriots, I'm sorry, just because of the way the odds were looking. Obviously, draft time came, and we just switched those two around. Everything else looked pretty on par. We had 3 trades. our guy Justin Fields, we were all kind of watching for him. He went to the Bears. I know you really wanted Elijah Vera Tucker for the Vikings, and then they actually traded that pick to the Jets, who took Elijah Vera Tucker.
I did. So initially in our group chat, I think I even looked at the text before I even looked back up at the TV to see our trade was in. And I'm a early bedtime guy. I'm getting elderly, so I stayed up till almost 10:30 to watch these guys pick at 14. So excited! Next thing I know, we trade to 23. Like, what am I supposed to do? I didn't stay up, so I was upset. I texted in the group. I said, I'm just going to bed. All angry, upset guy. But with all that being said, I am so excited for the Vikings draft. I'm sure we're going to get into it later for sure.
So, what I wanted to ask, were there any picks out there draft night that you thought were great picks, or were there any picks that you guys thought were just extremely questionable picks?
Yeah, I think there definitely was a couple interesting picks. One thing that I was shocked, and I think a lot of people were, is the fact that J.C. Horn went over Patrick Surtain from Alabama. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't think that they were going to go that direction even, but they did, and it was interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people also didn't think Justin Fields would find his way up there, nor did they think Chicago was going to trade to get him. I thought that was super interesting and exciting. They also traded for their second-round pick, so they're out there trying to make moves. Who knows? That NFC North might be clearing up due to recent news about an Aaron Rodgers. So that kind of makes me think some outrageous picks came out of Green Bay, still not getting offensive weapons. I also saw that Aaron Rodgers was telling available free agents not to sign with Green Bay because he was not going to be back for the 2021-2022 season.
Oof.
So I just think whatever Green Bay's doing is nothing good.
Yeah, that's a whole another scenario, which we will get into later. were there any teams that you guys thought absolutely killed the draft from start to finish?
I think the Browns had a really, really good draft, honestly. They addressed a ton of needs on defense. They just seem very solid as a squad now. So I was really happy about the Browns overall, and I'm really looking forward to them next season.
I'm going to have to agree. I think the Browns did have the best draft in the NFL. I mean, not to knock the Vikings draft, I think this was one of the Vikings' best drafts in quite some time, maybe since AP came to the organization. But no, I think the Browns did everything right. They filled all their needs. This whole offseason, they really look like they're trying to get somewhere, and I think mm-hmm. they are going to be the biggest threat to Kansas City this year in that AFC. Don't be surprised if you see the Cleveland Browns in the Super Bowl this year.
Hmm.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, shout out to Andrew Berry. He just seems like he just knows how to do his job. I mean, he's not doing anything overly extravagant. He's just literally doing his job, and that's something that we've never had before. Either people coming in and just not knowing what they're doing, or John Dorsey came in, I just felt like he was trying too hard. So this guy's just coming in. I think he actually had the birth of his child draft night, if I'm not mistaken. So had his kid, put together a beautiful draft for the Browns. I agree. I love the Browns draft. I really thought the New York Jets probably had the best draft, in my opinion. I thought they killed it. Not a fan of Zach Wilson personally, but that's their guy. That's who they went with. They locked him in. They got your guy, Vera Tucker, traded up for him to protect him. They got a steal in Elijah Moore with the second round. They didn't have to trade up to get him. And I really like the running back they got in the fourth round, Michael Carter from UNC. Just great picks all around for the offense. So probably the worst team in the AFC with the Jaguars, but I think they filled some needs that night. So are there any teams you guys thought had a terrible draft?
I think the Las Vegas Raiders really underperformed. It was very underwhelming, especially that first round pick. So they took Alex Leatherwood out of Alabama. It just seemed like if you wanted him, that's fine, but you could have traded down to get him. You didn't need to keep on to that number 17 pick. You could have made it a more valuable asset.
It was a weird pick because he was the lineman of the year, interior lineman of the year. He won the award for it, but I think Mel Kiper was saying like he had him graded as a third round pick. They said right. That there was a 60% chance he would have been available with the Raiders third round pick. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not necessarily bashing him as a player, but at that position, it was just kind of silly not to trade down and get more value out of him.
Yeah, so I'm not a huge fan of Seattle's draft this year. I mean, I don't know if it's because of the lack of picks they have, but I think this whole offseason, they've just been losing, losing, losing. Their only real key signing that I'm really looking at is Alden Smith, who just got into some legal stuff not too long ago. So I think Seattle probably could have, I don't know, found their way to maybe trade for more picks or get more out of what they had. They just, the only real key name they got was Dwayne Eskridge, and he's just a Mac guy. He's from Western Michigan, so I just didn't like Seattle's draft or the Rams, but I think those are both due to lack of picks due to the big trade that we saw earlier in the year with Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, so they didn't have that many picks. They only got the Tutu Atwell out of Louisville, and that, I mean, they didn't have a first round pick. They don't believe they had a third or sixth and fifth. I mean, both teams I think only had three draft picks all that whole draft, so I'm not a huge fan of either of those.
So to conclude our draft recap, I just wanted to touch base with the both of you and guys and see how you guys feel about your team's first round picks this year. So Nate, you're a Minnesota Vikings guy. What'd you think about your guys' first round pick?
Yeah, so I kind of hinted earlier about me being upset initially that the Vikings had traded down. I just didn't realize this guy would still be there at pick 23. Christian Darrisaw, the left tackle out of Virginia Tech.
Shout
out D.C., big Virginia Tech
definitely
guy.
Definitely shout out D.C.
So hopefully you kind of appreciated that pick. Maybe you'll enjoy the Vikings a little bit more. I could use any bandwagoners at this point because this is our year, Browns-Vikings Super Bowl. But yeah, with all that being said, I think this pick was perfect. It filled the exact need. I could talk all day still about the Vikings draft, how we just kind of killed it, where we had our picks. We traded up, or traded it down, I'm sorry, to get a couple third-rounders. We ended up getting Kellen Mond. Just going to kind of hint there. I love that pick out of Mississippi State. Quarterback that who can kind of learn under Kirk Cousins while he's still there.
Texas A&M.
Yes. Oh, what did I say? I'm sorry.
Mississippi State.
Oh, see, Dak Prescott. It was like, because that's exactly who I kind of compare Kellen Mond to. I think he can be like the next Dak Prescott. But we have so much more talent around him than Dak does. Yeah. So I'm super excited about that pick.
All right. So we kind of already touched on it, but Tone, you're a Browns guy. What'd you think about Greg Newsome?
I thought Greg Newsome was great, honestly. I mean, I love Denzel Ward. I love Greedy Williams. Health can be an issue with both those guys. It can't hurt to add to our cornerback position or situation, if you would. I really like Greg Newsome, but what I thought was a really good, solid steal was getting Joke in the second round. Mm-hmm. I mean, we nailed that. That was a great pick to me. I'm really excited about it. Two key pieces that can be plugged in right away and, you know, help make us a contender.
Yeah, almost every single draft expert said that that guy should have went in the first round, and they got him in the second round, so great, great pick, great drafts by both teams. So I guess that'll kind of conclude the draft recap. So basically, like I said, what we're going to do is we'll do a win total for all NFC teams, and you guys can just give your insight if they've improved, if they've become a lesser of a team. And again, just a reminder, every team's playing 17 games this year, which usually they play 16, so just kind of keep that in mind when we're factoring in the win losses for this season. We'll start with the NFC East. And as a division, historically one of the worst divisions ever last season. And my question to you guys before we even get started, Washington made the playoffs, they were 7-9. A few teams have done that in our lifetimes. Do you guys think a winning record should be required for playoffs, or is winning your division good enough?
You know, that's a really good question. I think it is. You'd like to see that. I think it's pretty rare that it happens. So, and I guess I would prefer it. I don't know if I want to change things from how they are, but when you put it in perspective, it seems like it only makes sense. You know, it'd be nice if they just took the top records in the league and then made them, you know, the playoff positions. What makes this unfair is because of the divisions. You play certain teams twice and the schedule. So I understand it, but in, you know, a perfect world, it does seem to be a good concept.
Yeah, I think that question kind of rides on the past few years. We're having teams that are winning their division at 8-8, sometimes 7-9, or get a tie and go 7-8-1. You see these teams that obviously they're not going to make a run in the playoffs, aside from that Seattle Seahawks team with Marshawn Lynch and that run against the Saints. They made kind of a run, but still, these guys aren't the best teams in the league. So I don't know. It would be hard to kind of go against tradition and kind of change everything up so abruptly, so quick. I think that should be kind of a thing they're starting to kind of get into right now, where they created that one more wild card team. So I think they're slowly trying to get into what you just asked, but I don't know. It'll make things so different, but I agree with Tone. I think it makes way too much sense at this point.
All right, so like I said at the top of the show, I'm going to kick off every division with the team who's projected to have the most wins, and I will go down to till we get to the team with the least amount of wins. And Vegas is projecting the Dallas Cowboys to have the most wins in the NFC East this year. Win total this year is 9.5, and that is plus 3.5 from last year's record of 6-10. What do you guys think?
This one's tough for me, and I think I'm going to have to make a conditional pick. Ooh. Only because we don't know how Dak Prescott's going to come off of that ankle fracture. That's a really tough injury. It's hard to say how he's going to play. If he comes back and he's normal Dak Prescott, I'm excited for the Cowboys as a team. Out of the 7 players that they drafted, 5 of them were defensive players. So they plugged in a couple things, you know, holes that they had to fill. Last year they were 23rd ranked in opponent's yards per play. So they're lower in the league. They really need to improve that side of the ball. I think their first round pick and Micah Parsons was great. He's a really tough player that should make an immediate impact. So for me, because they're playing that extra game, I will go ahead and take the over if Dak Prescott is back to normal. If not, then I'll take the under.
Okay, so I think that's the first conditional pick since like episode 5.
Yeah.
I mean, you snuck it in
back
there.
Back to football season.
Yeah, we're back. But I like it. I'm just going to go with the under personally, because the uncertainty with Dak Prescott, if you were to see the severity of that injury, it's gruesome, it's nasty, it's serious. So I don't know how they're going to start out, if he's going to be as mobile as he is, if he's going to be that dual threat quarterback that he has been. But they also got rid of guys like Chidobe Awuzie, and they don't have Sean Lee anymore. He had retired. Xavier Wood, Alden Smith's gone. They really did do really well in the draft by grabbing Micah Parsons, I agree. But I think with the losses out there and... Yeah, quick little shout out. Last Chance U, they had drafted Najon Wright out of, I guess he's Oregon State, but he had played for Laney College, and they were featured on season 5 of Last Chance U on Netflix, and his brother Najon Wright was one of the biggest stars for that team, and you kind of got to look into their home life, what happened to him. This is a big tragic story, and it just shows how he battles through adversity. So quick shout out to him getting picked overall 4th round. He went through JUCO. So it was quite the story. If you haven't checked it out, I would recommend you checking out that Laney College series on Last Chance U.
Yeah, that's a really good show. We watched quite a few seasons of it. It's cool. And it's really nice when they do make it to the NFL, because you kind of understand their backstory. So
yeah, I guess I'll just kind of throw it in right now while we're talking about it. Rakeem Boyd. From the Indy series with Coach Jason Brown, the Pitbull guy who,
oh yeah, I remember him.
He says fuck stick all the time. There it is, first one.
Oh yeah,
that was a while though.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
But he did not get drafted, but he was undrafted free agent signed with the Detroit Lions. So quick shout out Rakeem Boyd, Last Chance U. It's always good to see those guys kind of advance in their careers. We'll see what happens in the Last Chance U basketball squad to see what they do. That was also an interesting series.
We have the reigning NFC East champs up next on the slate, the Washington football team. Their win total projection for this year is 8 wins. Now, last year they went 7-9, like we talked about. What do you guys think about the WFT?
I like this team to go at least 8 wins. I don't know how many wins we'll get in total, but I think that number is pretty low. I know that Alex Smith retired, but I feel like their quarterback situation was iffy the whole time. They finally got Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's in there. I think he's ready to rock and try to, you know, keep that starter role. I feel like he was really kind of it touched him the wrong way what Miami did to him last year. You could tell even during the season he said something about it. He was, you know, pretty distraught. So I think he's going to come back with a vengeance. He's a solid game manager. You know, he takes some risks, but I think he's a solid player overall. So I like him. They added Curtis Samuel as well. So I like the Washington football team. We know they have a really tough defense. They added Davis from Kentucky, the linebacker. They'll probably be able to plug him in certain situations as well. So I'm going to take the over 8 wins.
Yeah, I think I'm going to luck that in because I like Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic, if you pertain. Is that the word, pertain?
Sounds right.
Yeah, okay, sure. Cool. Yeah, so, yeah, I agree.
It's your show.
I think he's the reason Miami was what they were last year. Obviously, when you saw them put Tua in, that was a whole different ball club. The defense obviously was so solid on that team, but Ryan Fitzpatrick was a perfect game manager, and I think that's what Washington needs right now. Mm-hmm. I love the signing of Curtis Samuel to go alongside with Terry McLaurin.
Scary Terry.
Yeah, they did lose some depth in linebacker by losing Ryan Kerrigan and Thomas Davis, but like Tone had mentioned, they had kind of filled that need in the first round of the draft. They also drafted a tackle out of Texas, Samuel Cosmi. I think that's going to be a big need to keep Ryan Fitzpatrick protected, get him some time to kind of throw to his new weapons of sorts. And then Terry McLaurin, I was saying it on the podcast last year, I think he's a top five receiver in the league. He just hasn't had the quarterback to kind of expose mm-hmm. him. Could you met? But then again, what if they've been in the trade talks for Aaron Rodgers? I think Aaron Rodgers would like Curtis Samuel and Terry McLaurin. That's just me.
Yeah. Next up on the slate, we got the New York Football Giants. Their win total this year is 7. That's plus 1 from last year's record of 6-10.
I think this Giants squad could actually be pretty tough, honestly. Assuming Saquon Barkley comes back and he's the player he was just one of the league's best backs, if not the best back before he went down. You really hate to see it. They added a wide receiver in the first round. We saw they traded down and got Kadarius Toney from Florida, so that was a big addition. They also got Kenny Galladay, so he's a veteran for them. I think he's someone that could hopefully bring some good morale and just be a good addition to their team. I like the Giants overall. I think they went 6-10 last year, but they covered the spread at least in quite a few games, and they competed. So I'll take the win total to be over 7.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree again, but I'm going to go a little bit further. I think the Giants win this division. Mm. I think they do get maybe 10, even 11 wins with the roster they have. Tone had mentioned they had signed Galladay and drafted Toney. They also got John Ross, got Mike Glennon kind of filling for a backup QB, but they also filled a lot of needs on the defensive side by getting a steal in the draft, by getting elite Azeez Azorlier. How'd I do? From Georgia. And then Leonard Williams they signed. They got Danny Shelton and Dory Jackson in the backfield. They did lose Wayne Gallman, Alfred Morris, Devontae Freeman, Golden Tate, a bunch of weapons. But I think they did exactly what they needed, hoping Saquon comes back. And I think they win the division outright easy.
All right. To round off the NFC East, we have the Philadelphia Eagles. Their win total projection for the year is 6.5, which is actually plus 2.5 from last season's 4-11-1.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to take the under.
Oof.
I don't know. I don't buy the hype of the Eagles. I know Jalen Hurts does have a weapon in Devontae Smith, his college teammate, so I hope they go over that, but for some reason, I think I'm going to take the under. Someone's got to lose in this division. We already said that we think Washington's going to be solid. The Giants are going to be solid. They're going to play all these teams twice. So I just think it might be a tough road for them and a tough slate. And I will take the under.
Yeah, I think I just got to go 3 in a row here after disagreeing with you on the first one. I'm going to go with the under. Yeah, I like the Devontae Smith signing. I just don't think the team's completely signed. No. Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. I don't think this Eagles team is capable of much. I like the under for sure. They did sign Joe Flacco to kind of, I don't know, back up Jalen Hurts. Maybe, I don't know, sneak in a couple starts this year. That could totally be a thing. It just doesn't seem like Doug Peterson's all in on Jalen Hurts, despite the way he was kind of acting last year. I think they're going to kind of miss Carson Wentz. They lost DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, a couple big defensive guys like Jalen Mills and Nikhil Roby Coleman, Malik Jackson, who ended up going to Cleveland. So I just don't think the Eagles are going to be much this year, so I'm also going to go with the under.
All right, so my first question for the division is, will this division once again be the weakest division all of football? But you guys pretty much all took the over. Nate, you took a couple unders. You took under on the Eagles, but you guys are high on the football team, high on the Giants. Does this remain the weakest division, or do do you see them not being that?
I actually don't. I don't think they're going to remain the weakest division this year. I think the NFC North, if Aaron Rodgers gets traded, will be the weakest division in football. So that'll be my vote on that one, but I do not think it will be this division.
A little offended, but no, honestly, I agree completely. The NFC North would be by far the weakest division of football, and if the Vikings can get into the playoffs at 8-8, I will jump all over it. I'll praise the week all day. But yeah, I'm agree with you. I do think the Giants and the Cowboys, well, not the Cowboys, but the Washington football team, Giants Washington football team, they're going to be some teams to look out for this year.
Okay, so Nate took the Giants to win the division. Already answered that question for me. Who do you have winning the NFC East?
I also have the Giants, so that's who I had written down. I'm going to stick by it. I think the Washington football team will be really, really tough, and I might even find myself rooting for them, but I do have to luck it in with the Giants.
All right, so we're going to shift gears from what was the weakest division in football last season to the NFC West. Now, per the books in Vegas and the win total predictions that they're giving us, the NFC West looks like they're on par to be the toughest division in football this year. And that takes us to the Los Angeles Rams. Their win total for this year is 10.5, which is plus half a game from last year's record of 10-6.
I'm not big on the Rams this year. I gotta take the under. I know that they got Matthew Stafford, which I really always liked him as a player. I thought he was really solid, but their salary cap situation resulted them having to lose quite a few defensive players, and they end up losing a bunch of starters. So for me, I know they have Aaron Donald. He's very solid, but I'm not big on this team. They might win 10 games, but I don't know if they're gonna win 11 or 12 to get over that 10.5 win total. So I'll take the under.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a super interesting season for the Rams because Matthew Stafford is at the cross ends of his career. It's not going to last much longer. I think they're out there looking for a Super Bowl. I think he's one of the best players who isn't really recognized because his team never really seen playoff appearances. But I agree with Tone, though. They had lost a lot of defensive players, Michael Brockers, a couple guys to the Browns, like, was it John Johnson and Troy Hill, I believe? A couple defensive backs, Leonard Floyd on that defensive side, and I love Cam Akers. And you got Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods out there at receiver. You still have Tyler Higbee, even though they lost Everett at tight end. I like this Rams team. I'm going to disagree with you. I like the over because I think Vegas is begging for the under there.
All right, so this next team, I'm really interested to see what you guys think about this team. It's the San Francisco 49ers. Now, their win total this year is also 10.5, which is plus 4.5 from last season's record of 6-10. This is AJ the Moderator's Dark Horse Candidate of the Year. What are you guys thinking?
I agree with you. I like the 49ers this year. I think they have a ton of potential. Assuming that Jimmy G is starting at quarterback, though. So that might be out of the popular opinion, but I think they're in too tough of a division to have a rookie win 11-plus games. So I'll take another conditional pick. If Jimmy G gets back that starting, or I guess he never left it, but if he gets that starting position, then I'll take the over.
Yeah, I almost want to disagree with you again. Jimmy G isn't all that he's cracked up to be, in my opinion. They lost a lot of guys in the backfield this year, losing Jerick McKinnon and Tevin Coleman. And then they lost Ezekiel Ansah, Richard Sherman, wide receiver, Marquise Goodwin, Jordan Reed retired. They lost a lot of weapons. I do love the Wayne Gallman signing, though. Me and Tone last year were very high on Wayne Gallman. I think he does a really good job out there in the backfield. They also drafted Trey Sermon out of Ohio State. But they also got Alex Mack, which was a super low-key signing. He, longtime Brown, played for the Falcons. I think that's a huge pickup at center. It's tough to get on their bandwagon. I love Brandon Ayuk as well, who they got last year in the draft out of Arizona State. I think they said it pretty good. I think it's going to be a dealer's take here.
All right, so our next team, we have last year's NFC West champions. We have the Seattle Seahawks. Win total for the Seahawks is going to be 9.5, which is minus 2.5 from last year's 12-4 record.
for me, it's hard not to take the over with Russell Wilson. So I know they kind of had a couple back and forth things with the organization and the offseason with him. But at the end of the day, I think they added a couple pieces to their offensive line. They picked up a center, a guard. They also picked up tight end Gerald Everett. So we just talked about how he's not going to be with the Rams anymore. He's on the Seattle Seahawks, and I think that's a nice addition for them. So for me, I have to take the over just because it's Russell Wilson, but I don't know how confident I am with that.
I like the under. I think this will be Russell Wilson's last year in Seattle. I think he goes onward and outward with his career after this, and I think this year just kind of solidifies him leaving. I love the under. I'm not sold on Seattle. They lost a whole herd of weapons. David Moore, Carlos Hyde, they lost three tight ends, Greg Olsen, Jacob Hollister, and Luke Wilson. And they also lost defensive likes of the Griffin brothers, Shaquille and Shaquem, KJ Wright, Quentin Dunbar, Mike Iupati ended up retiring on the offensive line. They lost Bruce Irvin. I just don't like this team this year. They signed, Tone was saying, Everett, Robert Nimgeechee. The former Ole Miss defensive end, he was actually highly touted. He just hasn't lived up to it. Then they got Dwayne Eskridge in the draft, as I mentioned. I'm not sold on this team. I think, as I was saying earlier about that Alden Smith signing, I think that's a little odd with everything going on. So I like the under myself.
To conclude the NFC West, we have the Arizona Cardinals. Now their win total is 8, and they're actually even from last year's 8-8 record.
I'm going to take another over. So for me, I think the Arizona Cardinals really loaded up this year. I don't know how far it will extend, but I think they kind of went all in this year. So we know they signed J.J. Watt. They signed veteran wide receiver A.J. Green. They also picked up a guard and a center. So they add to their offensive line. They add to their defense. They picked up Malcolm Butler, the cornerback. I don't know how far they're going to go, but I was really high on them last year. I think they got better as a squad. So I will go ahead and take the over 8. And that might be one of the higher picks I'm on.
Yeah, I'm going to look that in. So I think that's easy money if you're going to take the over on that. So they did lose cornerbacks like veteran presence Patrick Peterson. They lost Jonathan Joseph, Drake Kirkpatrick, and also Kenyon Drake. But I think they're trying to kind of clear out space there for more young talent in Arizona. Obviously signing J.J. Watt, which was huge. And then you have A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk. But I just want to throw out a quick stat. They had drafted Rondale Moore out of Purdue. He ran a 4.29. And his freshman year at Purdue, he had 114 catches and over 1,400 yards. He also had 14 total touchdowns, over 200 yards rushing. I mean, those are crazy numbers. Mm-hmm. So obviously this guy can perform. I think this offense is wicked. The defense side scares me. Malcolm Butler's a big sign, but for all the depth they lost in that offseason, I think they got a lot to compensate for. So I do like the over, but I think those are going to be some overtakes you're going to want to take this year in Arizona games.
Okay, so you guys were split on the first three top teams, and then you guys both agreed on the Cardinals. And I would have to also ride that as well. I mean, they're giving him the same exact win total. Kyler Murray is coming back another year experienced. Still has DeAndre Hopkins next to him. And I feel like they gave him a lot of pieces to surround himself with. And they're getting one more game on the schedule. So I feel like 8 at the moment is a steal. I wouldn't be surprised if the books bump that up if you don't lock that in soon. So my question for you guys on this division, which quarterback situation would you take? Matt Stafford, a new environment with the first real postseason opportunity? Russell Wilson just being Russell Wilson? Trey Lance as the third pick overall? Or Kyler Murray as the up-and-coming quarterback?
Oh, I'm taking Kyler Murray all day. With the weapons they've supported him with, I love Kyler Murray. They also got James Conner, which I think was a low-key signing. And when you got DeAndre Hopkins, who, in my opinion, is the best receiver in the game right now, him and Julio Jones, it's still a big toss-up to me. But you got DeAndre Hopkins. You just signed a veteran like A.J. Green, who's going to go out there and make those plays that you need him to make. He seems to be fully healthy. You got Rondale Moore and Christian Kirk, who's coming off his best season of his career. I think that team's pretty nasty. I love Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I agree completely. I really like Kyler Murray. I love Russell Wilson at the end of the day, but he is in an interesting position with the team, the organization, the weapons around him. So I do like the up-and-coming Kyler Murray, and this is his third year. I think he's going to keep continuing to age and get smarter. So I have to agree with you. I'll take Kyler Murray as well.
Yeah, I love Russell, but oh, quick shout out, DK. He might go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's the craziest physical feat since Bo Jackson. I mean, are you kidding me? Going to the Olympics as one of the biggest receivers in the game? Give me a break.
And before we move on to the NFC North, I need everyone's predictions for who will win the NFC West this year.
It's tough for me. I want to say the Arizona Cardinals, but I really like the 49ers as well. So I think I'm going to go with the 49ers because I think they're going to figure it out at the QB position, and they really have a tough squad altogether. So I'll go the 49ers, but I love the Cardinals this year as well.
I'm going to go with neither of those teams. I think the California kid at heart goes home to LA, and he gets them the division. I think the Rams go to the Super Bowl this year. Matthew Stafford takes the division. I think he's a shoo-in for it. The whole offseason, that's all I've been thinking about was this Matthew Stafford trade. Get this guy where he wants to be and play. No one wants to be in Detroit. No one wants to play in Detroit. I'm sorry. The Lions, the Pistons, the Tigers, oh my. Just no. You don't want to play there. Once Matthew Stafford finds this environment, he's already a good quarterback. He's going to excel himself to greatness.
All right, so we have the NFC North next on the slate. Now, this is a very interesting conference because we've already mentioned Aaron Rodgers. He pretty much controls the books on this division. So, first and foremost, we'll start with the Green Bay Packers. Now, Vegas has removed them completely from the win projections this season. Last year, they went 13-3. They were the NFC North champs. Everyone knows that Rodgers wants out. My question to you guys, let's pretend that Rodgers does not come back. Where would you guys put them as far as win total goes?
Man, that's a really tough, tough question for me. I don't even know if I can answer that, but Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He is so intelligent, so smart. He leads that entire offense. I would probably set it at something ridiculous, like 5.5, honestly.
Oof. I wasn't too far. I was going to say 6. I mean, at the most. He's been their starter since 2008. That's a crazy perspective to kind of take in mind. 2008, that's 13 years. And he sat his first 3 years behind Brett Favre, which obviously didn't hurt. But I think he is the best quarterback in the game. Unfortunately, my Minnesota Vikings have to play him twice every year. But these guys have not given him anything. I mean, Davante Adams, you can't take a better player in the first round on the offensive side. You can't help my guy out. It just seems like they keep neglecting him. I don't see Aaron Rodgers coming back. I think they go 6-11 on the year without Rodgers. I don't think who's their quarterback? Who they just draft?
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love. Yeah, I don't think he's ready yet. I think he's got a little while in him.
All right. So I don't want to spend too much more time on the Packers, but I do just want to say that. So you guys have 5 wins and 6 wins. They won 13 last year, so that would mean that to you guys, Rodgers is worth 7 to 8 wins just on his own. Is there any other player in the NFL that can say that?
I think the closest one would be Russell Wilson, in my opinion. But other than that, not even Tom Brady with the offense of weapons and defensive talent he has.
I would say Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he is humongous for that Kansas City offense and organization as a whole. So that's a good question, though.
So you're not sold on Chad Henne?
Nope.
Damn.
All right, so that takes us to the first win projection for the NFC North, which is the Minnesota Vikings. Their win total is 8.5, plus 1.5 from last year's record of 7-9.
I like the Vikings this year, honestly. I picked them to win the division, so we'll get that out of the way right now. I think they're going to go over that 8.5 wins. I do think this is the weakest division in football if Aaron Rodgers leaves, and that's the only reason I'm taking Minnesota to win the division, because I just don't see how they can reconcile their relationship. So I imagine the Packers are done with Aaron Rodgers. I think the Vikings are tough. I really liked them last year. They were in a ton of games. We know about their offense. They have some fantastic receivers, one of the best running backs in the league. They're tough. I'm going to go ahead and take them over 8.5 wins.
Oh, yeah. We're soaring over the Vikings. They're going to go 12-5. I love Minnesota this year because Rodgers could be leaving. Opens up the North. I don't think Justin Fields is quite ready to take over a team and take them to the playoffs. I think the whole Jared Goff thing, he just kind of got the F word, like fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I just think this is the Vikings year. We signed a bunch of offensive linemen, or we signed an offensive lineman, drafted two, one out of Ohio State. We got Justin Jefferson coming back, Adam Thielen. Unfortunately, we did lose Kyle Rudolph and Anthony Harris, Eric Wilson, Shamar Stevens, Jaleel Johnson. We lost a ton of defensive players, but I think we did even better in the draft by getting low-key guys. We got a couple defensive linemen from Pittsburgh, one from Florida State. And also, quick mention to Kellen Mond. The Vikings had got Kellen Mond. I think he's the perfect underdog or understudy to Kirk Cousins. So I think the Vikings win 12 games. I think this could be their year because other teams are coming for him shortly.
Okay, so not only is Aaron Rodgers worth 7 or 8 wins to his team, but he's almost worth 4 or 5 wins to the Vikings for just not being there.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, at least two.
At least two.
Yeah.
All right, so the next team we have on slate, the Chicago Bears. Their win total is 7.5, which is actually minus a half a game from last year's record of 8-8.
I guess I'm a Bears fan because they end up drafting Justin Fields. I'm going to back him. He's an Ohio State guy. We definitely dug him on our squad. You know, before that, they were going into the season with Andy Dalton. So I know he's a game manager. He's a veteran. I don't feel as good about them. I know they have a tough defense, but now that they have Justin Fields, I'll go ahead and take the over. I think it's not going to be very much over that 7.5. Might get to 8 or 9. But I can't help but take that over because I like Justin Fields and that defense is tough.
Yeah, the Bears absolutely snapped in this offseason. They did get Andy Dalton, but I think this is going to be Justin Fields' team overall. They signed Damian Williams, Damir Bird, Marquise Goodwin, all on the offensive side. They even went off on the defensive side by getting Mario Edwards Jr., Jeremiah Tashu, Artie Burns, Desmond Trufant, Deshaun Gibson. They went absolutely off, and they even traded up in the second round of this draft to get Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State, a big offensive tackle to kind of protect Justin Fields. I think they absolutely snapped. I don't think this is going to be this year, their year this year. I think they do go over, but I think this is going to be the team of the future. Watch out.
All right, and to round off this division, we have the lowly Detroit Lions. Their win total last year was 5, and unfortunately for the Lions, Vegas is giving them an even chance to match last year's record of 5-11.
Yeah, I gotta take the under. I think they might get to 5 wins though, because they got Jared Goff. I don't hate him. I don't think he's necessarily gonna lead you to a Super Bowl, but he might. They picked up Penel Sewell with their 7th pick, and that was huge. He's going to set them up for the future. I still think they're in a rebuild mode. They do have some really tough players like DeAndre Swift. They were able to get some development out of Jeffrey Okuda from Ohio State, so we really like him. I like TJ Hockenson a lot. He's tough on the offensive side of the ball. So I think they're going to be close and competitive at times. They'll probably cover the spread because I'm sure they'll get, you know, big lines. But I got to take that under. I can't ride with them as far as the team goes. So I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm gonna also go with the under. I liked what they kind of tried to do due to their loss on the offseason. I can't even go through all the names they lost this year. It's a whole sleuth of them. But a couple key ones is like Kenny Galladay, we mentioned earlier, Marvin Jones. They lost Matthew Stafford, obviously. Adrian Peterson's gone, which is a huge veteran presence. But they did... the only thing I really liked what they did, other than their draft pick, which was huge with Penei Sewell, they signed Jamal Williams, which I think is a huge diamond in the rough to kind of back up DeAndre Swift. And they also, I hate their wide receiver pickups with Breshad Perriman, and they got Tyrell Williams, a couple guys who are just, their names are bigger than they're worth. So I just, I love the under in this.
All right, so to round off this division, without Aaron Rodgers, say insert Jordan Love or a trade asset like Drew Lock or Carr from the Raiders, is there any chance Green Bay can win this division, or are they completely out?
Without Aaron Rodgers, I absolutely can't take them. I think they're absolutely out.
Yeah, Packers aren't going to be a franchise to be reckoned with for quite some time when Rodgers leaves. I'm not sold on Love unless they can find another superstar, because they haven't been slacking or like struggling for a quarterback since when did Brett Favre get drafted? What was that, 97? I mean, way
been
back.
Quite a while.
Long
decades.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, it's been a tough time to be a Vikings fan. That's all I got to say.
All right. So we will conclude this episode with the NFC South, the reigning Super Bowl champs. We'll just get kicked off with them. We have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Their win total for this season is 11.5, which is actually plus half of a game from last year's record of 11-5.
You know, I guess I got to roll with the over. I mean, they're bringing back all 22 starters. I just think that Tom Brady at least has one more solid year in there. They have a lot of offensive weapons. I think they have a tough emerging defense. So I don't know if they're going to make it back to the Super Bowl and win, but I think they could win 12 games, maybe 13 tops. So I'll go ahead with the over total wins.
Yeah, so the Bucks, which I love, they haven't made too many offseason moves other than signing their big components. There was a big signing, though. They did end up getting Giovanni Bernard. I know they re-signed Leonard Fournette and have Ronald Jones, but I think that's just another weapon for Tom Brady to throw into the backfield, because he's always been known for more of a pass catcher, but he's also a solid running back. But the only real loss I see is they lost their center, A.Q. Shipley. But when you see a team coming off a Super Bowl win, no news is good news. So I think they're going to win 11 games this year. So I would go the under, but I think Vegas did a pretty good job, because I know Brady knows they're going to the playoffs. If they take a couple games to kind of chill and they lose a couple, it's not going to hurt. They know where they're going. They know when to turn it up. So I think it does go under, unfortunately.
Next up, we have the New Orleans Saints. Their win total for this year is 9, which is actually -3 from last year's record of 12-4. And they actually did win the division last year, the NFC South champs.
I think I got to go with the under in this one. I think they're in for, you know, quite a different shock without having Drew Brees there, his presence. I really like Jameis Winston. It seems like they're going to go with possibly Taysom Hill. So if they end up going with Taysom Hill, I think they'll get figured out quickly, and they maybe will win 9 games, but I don't see them getting to the double-digit win.
Yeah, I'm a go under myself. Drew Brees is going to be so weird not seeing him in the league. After he's been in there so long and he's been such a force in the league, I think it's a huge shock to New Orleans. They didn't really do too much in the offseason, and I really hated their fourth-round pick. I know it's kind of silly to hate a team's fourth-round pick, but they went ahead and got Ian Book, which I wasn't a huge fan of in college.
He sucked.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Exactly. I'm glad you were on my back here, because Ian Book was pretty trash, and you go ahead and waste a fourth-round pick on him. It's just straight disrespectful. I am a fan of Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston, but I don't know. I guess this will really kind of test out Sean Payton's coaching abilities. I'm going to go under. I don't like the Saints this year with no Drew Brees.
Yeah, I agree.
We have the Carolina Panthers. Now, their win total is 7.5, which is actually +2.5 from last year's record of 5-11.
I've thought this for a while. I don't know why, but I feel like Sam Darnold's actually a talented quarterback. I don't know if he's always been put in the best positions to excel, but I don't know if I want to take the over-under on this one. Honestly, I think I might lean towards the over because they might get 8 wins or so. But I don't know. I kind of like the Panthers with Sam Darnold. I think that they did lose Curtis Samuel, who's a tough wideout for them. I was perplexed when they took J.C. Horn with that first pick. So maybe he'll fit into their scheme better than I realized. But I don't know. I guess I'll lean towards the over, but I'm pretty indifferent on this pick.
Okay, so the Panthers have been all over the offseason news. Tone had a perfect take on Sam Darnold. I don't hate him at all. They got David Moore from Seattle. They signed Dan Arnold, which is a low-key good tight end snag. They also got Cam Irving at tackle, Taylor Moulton at tackle, Pat Elflein, who's a former guard from Minnesota, another guard in John Miller. I mean, they went off. Denzel Perriman at linebacker, Hassan Reddick from linebacker, cornerback AJ Boye. They also drafted J.C. Horn. And a couple of lower key draft picks they had was Terrace Marshall Jr. out of LSU, which I think he might end up being better than his predecessor, or what's the word?
Predecessor.
Yeah, predecessor. From who's their
LSU?
Yeah, who got picked in the first round?
Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, there he is. See, I need a team around me. I mean, I have it. It's not always there. But they also got Chuba Hubbard at running back, a low-key fourth-round pick. I'm surprised he kind of fell that low.
One of the best picks of the entire draft.
Thanks, AJ. Yeah, I had to throw it in there because that was a steal. They lost, obviously, Bridgewater, and I hate that they lost Mike Davis because once Christian McCaffrey kind of went out, it just he stepped up.
He was really tough. Yeah,
chip on his shoulder.
DraftKings, he was a really solid pick.
One of the most expensive running backs you can pick. And, yeah. But I think he would have been a perfect kind of 1-2 punch with Christian McCaffrey. But I do love that they got Chuba because I think he'll fit in right immediately because there won't be all that pressure on him. It's Christian McCaffrey's team for the most part. So I think he'll fit in great. But I love Carolina this year. I just I don't know. I'm going to go with the over. I just don't know how far they'll go.
Yeah, just before we move on, just for my own personal takes, I really love the Cardinals over, and I really love the Panthers over. Those are the two overs that I'm locking in this year. I think Panthers have done a lot of things to improve. I really love Sam Darnold. I know when the Browns had the first pick, I wanted Sam Darnold, not Baker Mayfield, but...
Oof. That's it.
I did. I really thought he was better. Looking at it now, we probably made the right pick, but I just feel like Darnold in a different environment is going to be a solid quarterback. So
you and I are pretty much on the same page.
Yeah, big in the over for the Panthers. But that's going to round us off to the last team to talk about tonight, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. Their win total is 7, which is actually +3 from last year's record of 4-12.
I'm pretty indifferent about the Falcons as well. I don't know. I really like them adding Kyle Pitts to their offense because he's a really tough player. Maybe one of the most talented players in the draft, honestly. I like Matt Ryan. He's a veteran. He plays his role. But I don't know. I think for me, I'm going to take the under.
Ooh.
It's tough, but I'm going to do it.
What's the over-under again one more time?
Over for the Falcons is 7.
I'm going over. The Falcons are a team, though, every year. You truly don't know what they're going to do. You don't know how they're going to come out. I had no idea they're going to come out after signing Todd Gurley last offseason. I didn't think they would come out and be one of the worst teams in the league. I mean, my goodness. But I like the over. I love the Mike Davis signing. I think he has way more reason to go out there and play. Because Todd Gurley got the big contract. He has the name. So he went out there and he didn't really play. But Mike Davis, I think he's going to fit perfectly in this offense. They also got Josh Andrews on the offensive line. Defensive Barkevious Mingo. And Daron Harmon. Eric Holmes. Then I love Kyle Pitts. And they also drafted the safety Richie Grant out of Central Florida in the second round. Which is a huge draft pick. And I don't even think they lost that much. They did lose 3 running backs. I don't think really hurt them. Todd Gurley, Brian Smith, and Ito Smith. Or Brian Hill and Ito Smith. I'm sorry. They did lose Alex Mack, but he's going on his tail end of his career. I love the Falcons over.
All right. So for this specific division, I think it's safe to say we can all say it's Tampa's to lose. They're going to lock this one up. Is Tampa Bay the favorites in the NFC?
I don't know. I don't know that question. I think it's too early to say, but I'm going to go with no by the start of the season.
All
right. I think the Rams are the favorite personally at this point. I think that might be a kind of a reach at this point. I love Matthew Stafford going to where he really belongs. I think the whole California kid's going to catch on like abruptly once they start winning games. I think they win the division. I don't know if they go to the Super Bowl, though.
All right.
Well, that's, or the conference. My fault.
Yeah, that's pretty much going to conclude our win-loss totals for NFC. And then, you know, next week I think we just bring it back and we're going to cover the AFC and go from there.
Oh, absolutely. We got anything else on the tap?
That's it on my end.
I think
end.
That'll do it.
Oh, okay. So, as we come to a conclusion. So, you have to check us out. If you're still listening, obviously, we appreciate you. We love you. Our guy Dan, you're a smart guy. I know you're probably finished walking your dogs, but I know you're still listening. So, quick shout out to you and everyone else who is still on board. We appreciate you more than you know. If you haven't yet, go ahead and check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Yeah? And then that's all at Luck Changers Podcast. I think that's all four of them. But we also have an email. You can shoot us emails, questions. If you're questioning a line on a game or an over-under or maybe even just a simple question about sports gambling advice in general, go ahead and shoot us an email at luckchangerspodcast@gmail.com. I repeat, luckchangerspodcast@gmail.com. Easy as that. We will happily respond to you in way due timing, like within 10 minutes. I mean, we're on that. We got three of us. And for me, I am your host, Nate, and my co-host, Tone. Also, my moderator, AJ. We are the Luck Changers. What's up, boys?
We are out of here.
Adios.
Peace. We're out of here.
Peace.